Bibles to the back of the Bible to the little epistle called 3 John. 3 John in the back of the Bible. The third epistle of John the Apostle, and it reads in verse 1, "The elder," that would be John, "unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Amen. Amen. And one of the great blessings that we have as Christians who have met the person who is the way, the truth, and the life, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, is we have truth. And truth is a wonderful thing to have. And as John gets into this particular epistle, speaking to this man, Gaius, that's a friend of his, he talks about how blessed he is that Gaius is walking in truth, that he's living his life according to truth, that he's reading truth, and he's obeying truth and hearkening to truth. And, well, amen, what a blessing. I don't know about you, but I love truth. I do not like error, okay? It's either truth or error. Error is wrong. Now, whether the error was accidental, ignorance, do not know, you know, never had a chance to study a topic, or whether it was purposeful, meaning an outright lie, and there's two types of error. There's those that are actual deceiving people, and then there are those who are the deceived, and they just don't know. I don't like error. I like truth. I rejoice in truth. I love truth. Now, this man Gaius, to whom John was writing, spiritually, he was healthy. He was in truth. His soul was healthy in the sense that he was a born-again Christian, and his soul has eternal life, and he's going to go to heaven. But his body was suffering. Did you see verse 2? "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." He was struggling physically. And Jesus was one day speaking to the apostles. It was in the Matthew chapter 26, and I think in verse 41, he said to Peter, he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And in the makeup that God has constructed us, we have a soul which has the potential to live forever, and it will if you're in Christ. We have a spirit which can be spiritually strong with the spirit of the living God, but we have this body, and this body is born to die. It really is. This body is born to die, it kind of starts on a downhill slope from the first day of birth. The cells are pretty much the healthiest initially, and then they get older and older and older. However, there is advice in the Bible as to how to take care of the body that God has given us. It's not a lot of advice, because most of the advice that the Lord gives is to the spirit and the soul. He wants our soul to have everlasting life, and He wants our spirit to be renewed in His spirit, and one day He'll give us a new body. But right now, He has a desire to help this body, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so He puts a few laws and commandments ideas in the scriptures that if we attain unto them, it will help us in our bodily strength. So what I want to do for the next number of weeks is I want to begin to take a look at what the Bible has to say about health and about caring for our body. And I don't want us to go overboard with it and become idolaters and start worshiping our body and worrying about every little thing. I'm going to give us good ideas and good suggestions from the Bible that will help strengthen our body. But by the very nature of it, like I say, our body kind of goes in one of this, it's called a corruptible mortal body. It goes on a downward hill until one day it goes in the ground. However, if we don't care for it properly, we can hasten the slope of that downward hill. And if we care for it properly, we can lift up a little bit of that bodily strength. I'll tell you my own philosophy, my own thought. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, I'd rather depart and go with the Lord. However, while I'm here, I don't particularly want to add years to my life, but I would like to add some life to my years. The Bible speaks of abundant life. And you know the difference between the times when you're sick and you're in bed, and you know the days pass and they come and go and you can't do a lot and you can't enjoy them, and the days when you're healthy and you can get out and enjoy it. If we take care of this body, we'll have more healthy days than sick days, and we'll be able to enjoy the body more, and not only that, use this vessel for the Lord's sake. So I want to take a look at a number of different aspects in the Scriptures. There was a book I stumbled across many years ago, Don Colbert's book. Anyone ever seen this book? This is called The Seven Pillars of Health. Don Colbert is a born-again Christian. He is the personal physician to the guy on television, John Hagee. Have you ever seen John Hagee? He's his personal physician. Well, don't hold it against him. I mean, I understand that John himself has difficulty following the seven pillars of health. But if you want to see, Don Colbert has some good things that he got from the Scriptures. And John's son followed his routine here. And if you ever see the difference between John Hagee's son 3 years ago and what he looks like today, you'd be pretty impressed as to what proper biblical advice will do in terms of taking care of your own body. So we're going to look at nutrition. We're going to look at very simple forms of exercise that you've probably never seen or heard before, but they're good ones. And we're also going to look at, like today, we'll start with a simple, easy topic, because I don't want to get too rough on you. So we'll start nice and easy today with something we begin to practice the rest of this week until we meet next week. And little by little, we'll gain more and more knowledge as to how to care for this body that the Lord given us, which they tell us is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that may be a help there too. All right. The first principle we'll look at today is the concept of getting enough rest and getting enough sleep. And I want to talk to you about these things. Sleep and rest is very important for the body. God has made this particular body that it requires rest and it requires sleep. When you and I sleep at night, we are restored. The body repairs a lot of the cells. You know how the body is constructed? Your body is constructed of cells, individual cells. When we get into nutrition, I'm going to draw what a cell looks like. And it's a little machine, actually. It's like a little city, actually. We'll take a look at these cells. You have 75 trillion cells in your body. And every single one of those cells requires nutrition. It requires oxygen. It requires water. And it requires actually a downtime where it can rest a little bit. And during the time of rest, it's able to repair damage, to rejuvenate itself, and to restore important various proteins and hormones that are needed so when it gets up the next day, it can go about its business. He gives an illustration in his book here about Walt Disney World. Has anyone ever been to Walt Disney World? I went a long time ago, 1986, I think it was, 86. It was the 15th year anniversary of the park. And I went with my mom and my dad. And at the time, Adam, our piano player, was 2.5 years old. We were pushing him around in one of those little strollers. And John was with us, and Joey was with us. We were about 12 years old at the time, Joe? 11 or 12? Yeah, 11 or 12, yeah. And so we were looking around, and my mom and I have one of those kind of observant, critical eyes. We like to look at things. Now, we've been to theme parks before. I've been to Crystal Beach and Darien Lake and places like that. But when I got to Walt Disney World for the first time and looked around, I was impressed. I mean, I look at architecture. I look at, is it pine wood? Is it cherry wood? Is it oak? I mean, mahogany? Is there chair rail? Is there crown molding? I look for all the kind of things. I look for cleanliness. I look for whether it's a poured a concrete foundation or whether it's individual block or whether it's brick. I look for things. One thing I noticed about Disney World, it was very well constructed. Another thing I observed about it as I went around, it was very well cared for. If you watch carefully, I will walk around the back of a building and look at things and check things out. I said, and my mom and I was, they're doing a good job here. And I would watch carefully because there's thousands of people milling about. And yet there was very little garbage. And every so often there'd be some Walt Disney World worker standing over there with a little stick. And they'd walk over and they'd pick the garbage up and put it in the trash can to keep the park nice. But what really happens is at 11 o'clock at night, when they close the gates and they send us all out, an entire shift of workers, thousands of workers, descends on that place and begins all kinds of repair work. If there was any damage done, painters do touch-up painting work to the common areas. Repairmen repair little structural defects and fix things up. The trash men come and empty all those trash cans and clean all the entire grounds. The food people get rid of the old food and get new stuff. So when you come in the next day, the park is ready to be greeted by the new people. Now, that's like sleep, folks. When you sleep, your body wants to take care of all kinds of functions it couldn't do while it was awake and running around and taking care of things. And just like Disney World has all that work that goes on from 11 in the morning till 7, 11 at night till 7 in the morning, your body does work during the time that you rest and you sleep. Restorative work, repair work, rebuilding work so you can go back the next day and get going. Now think of the damage that would be done to Disney World if they let people in at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and they interrupted all that stuff. There'd be more trash, there'd be more broken rides, there'd be more problems going on. And the same happens to your body when we do not get enough rest. One of the first things that we have to do is see to it that we get enough rest. I was talking to you about Matthew 26 before. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in that same chapter, the Lord says to his disciples in verse 45, Matthew 26, "Then he cometh to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest." And the Lord has determined that the sleep time is a time to rest that body and to rebuild that body. Very, very important. Again, I want to get the balance on this thing because the Lord talks about the importance of the physical sleep, but he also talks about the importance of someone that oversleeps and is a sluggard. So we'll look at that balance, but I want to look at the right amount of rest and what it does for you. When you are sleeping, the body begins to regulate hormones in the body, and these hormones help keep your organs strong and doing what they're supposed to do. For example, there's a hormone in children called growth hormone. It's during the sleep phase when the growth hormone is able to activate and do the proper job of growing the growth plates of the big bones like the femur and the tibia and the fibula and all these bones that need to grow. It's done in the evening during the sleep time. And if you were to cut the sleep period of children over a long period of time, that would stunt their growth more than cigarette smoking. Okay? Just so you understand that growth hormone doesn't work properly. In adults, you still have growth hormone, but it doesn't contribute to your physical growth and height anymore. It continues to maintaining the balance between muscle mass and fat. And what it does is it lifts up the amount of muscle mass and it keeps the amount of fat down. And when you interrupt the rest pattern and the sleep pattern, then there's an increase in adipose and fat tissue that builds up in the body. And although it's pleasingly plump, you know, the problem with that fat tissue is it becomes a storage. Fat is a receptacle for toxins and waste products and poisons. They dissolve very easily in fat. And so they just catch in there, and you bring on the potential of self-induced illness. So that's one thing you want to do in terms of the hormone. Another hormone that's regulated during the sleep cycle is the hormone leptin. Leptin is a hormone that controls your appetite, And one of the problems that we get is our appetites are out of control in America. We're hungry when we don't need to be hungry. And it's not a true hunger. A true hunger is when the body sends a signal that you actually need food to replenish the stores in the body. Appetite is something that we get in America. Let's say you just had a nice big meal, okay? Turkey dinner, good. With all the different, everything set out. There's some vegetables and some salad and some potatoes and the turkey and the gravy and the dressing, and you've had all that and you're all done. Now your hunger has been taken care of. It's been sated. And then along comes a big ice cream sundae for dessert. You may have an appetite for that ice cream sundae. That's an appetite with the leptin, and sometimes that gets out of control when you don't sleep properly, and you'll go for it even though your hunger has been taken care of. So the leptin is regulated during sleep. The right amount of sleep regulates that particular hormone in you. And America is a nation where people don't get the right amount of sleep. We as doctors have to give a lot of pills for so-called insomnia. It's one of the second or third leading most prescribed drug in this country are pills for sleeplessness. And a little trade secret in on you. They don't work more than 14 days. Okay, I just want you to know that. All the benzodiazepines that are prescribed for sleeplessness only have a 14-day window of effect. After that, they're not doing anything. We know that, but I guess the folks don't, and they get dependent. They pop them anyways, and the industry doesn't mind selling them, so everybody keeps taking them. But it doesn't really help. So I'm going to show you how to get good rest and good sleep so you won't need those pills. But that gets regulated. Another hormone that's regulated is insulin. Insulin is regulated with the right amount of rest and sleep. And what's happening in America, we're having a lot of people that have type 2 diabetes. I don't know if you know the difference. There's two kinds of diabetes. There's the diabetes you're born with, and that's sad, and that's a tragedy. A little child is born with a defect in his pancreas. He can't make insulin, and he's got to start taking the shots right away, you know, however long, and takes him for life. But then that's type 1 diabetes. That was the only diabetes that pretty much existed 60 years ago. But all of a sudden, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, there started this increase in this new kind of diabetes. They called it adult onset diabetes, or type 2 diabetes. And now there are millions of Americans with it. And what it's due to is it's actually due to overeating. As people overeat, obesity, he said, yes, and you get obese, what happens is your pancreas cannot make sufficient insulin to keep up with this frame that's too big. I mean, it's just too much. It was only meant to take care of 150 or 160 pounds, and now it's got to produce the insulin for 300 pounds, and it's incapable of doing it. And type 2 diabetes takes over. And the regulation of the insulin and the sensitivity of the cells is helped with the right amount of rest. One of the reasons people have it is even insufficient sleep. So it's very important. We need the right amount of sleep. Another thing sleep does, the immune system. Your immune system is marvelously and wonderfully made. And I'd like to do a teaching on immunology. It's incredible. You have these white blood cells. These little sentinel cells. And their job is to go all through the body and look for foreign invaders. A bacteria, a virus, you get cut and something enters your bloodstream and these white cells go after them. Your body makes 74 billion white blood cells every day. 74 billion. I tell you, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is hard to understand. But you have 75 trillion cells. So basically each white blood cell, its responsibility is searching out an area of 1,000 other cells and making sure there's no foreign invader there. And the white blood cells, they're different varieties, but there's one called NK. They're natural killer lymphocytes. And those things will kill anything that enters the body that doesn't belong there, including cancer cells. It can even sense when one of your body cells, let's say a lung cell, has for whatever reason, maybe you've smoked a little too much, and now some of your lung cells have mutated into a cancerous cell, those natural killer cells will kill it. You can fight cancer. Girls? Just trying to teach, that's all. Your body can fight cancer, and this is something that was learned over the past 20 years. I mean, when I first did cancer research at Roswell in the 70s, we were unaware of that. But these natural killer cells do that. And yet, when you shorten your sleep cycles or interrupt your sleep cycles, your body doesn't make enough natural killer cells, and the activity of the natural killer cells decreases. So rest is very important for that too, boosting your immune system and your natural killer cells. Another thing rest is important too, and I'm sure you all know it, is brain function. Okay? Have you ever tried to do a particular problem or operate a machine or drive when you've had too little sleep? I mean, brain function decreases. The sleep deprivation leads to decreased brain activity, decreased judgment, decreased active reflexes, decreased reaction time. The Exxon Valdez accident, 1989, when that tanker spilled all that oil, there was sleep deprivation to two of the men that were up in the crew there that were running that ship. The 1997 Korean Airline Flight 801, 200 people dead. Sleep deprivation to the pilot and the co-pilot. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 100,000 accidents per year with over 1,500 fatalities are believed to be due to sleep deprivation. So rest is very, very important. I could go on and on. Cortisol levels, your adrenal glands, very, very important. An important neurotransmitter that lowers the blood pressure, that lowers the stress and the anxiety, that lowers your heart rate. All this is important, and lack of sleep increases that hormone, which causes the exact opposite of those effects. So I'll tell you, as a doctor I've known for years, probably 70 to 80% of all the illnesses we treat are self-induced from not caring for yourself properly. Not the right nutrition, not the right fluid intakes, and not the right amount of rest. I've known this for years. We've known this for years. What else do we know? I feel like that centurion that met Jesus. Go back, I'll just show you. I'm going to show you in a minute, brother, but we're going to take a look at that. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5, Jesus was entering into Capernaum, and there came a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And then, of course, he healed this man's servant by just speaking a word at a distance. But the man came to Jesus and said, I'm kind of used to what you deal with because I have people under me and I've watched this. And my point is, when I came to Jesus and I saw how he healed people spiritually, and then I went out with the gospel and tried to tell people, and most people were like, I'm not interested, I'm not interested, I'm not interested, which is the response you get from most people, then I thought like that centurion, boy, I've dealt with the same thing in medicine. Because when I was young in medicine, I really thought I would help people get and stay healthy and not need me. And after 2 years, I found out when I would tell them, if you'll do this and change this, and you change this and you change this, you'll get better permanently. And they would say, but what pill can you give me or what operation could you do? And then I learned quickly, they're not interested in getting better. So another trade secret we know is not only could people get better, they're not interested, and so we'll always have work. Doctors know they're going to have work because they're just not going to get better. But if you're willing to help yourself get better, in 9 out of 10 cases, you can get better and stay better for a long time. And one of the first things is sleep. One of the first things is sleep. So let's take a look at some principles. How can I get good sleep from the scriptures? Go back to Psalm 127. You can have good, restful sleep. I do. every night. And you can have it too. I'm nothing special. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Remember, this is your house of your Holy Ghost. This is your body. And the Lord wants to build that. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. So the first thing that you need to have good sleep is you need to be one of his beloved. You must be born again. You must take that spirit of yours. By the way, before I got saved, I didn't always have good rest. I had a lot of restless, troublesome nights. I had difficulty getting to sleep. And that was very frustrating for me because of the business I was in, medicine. I needed sleep. When I came off a 36-hour call and I had to be back there, I just got home at 6:15 p.m. and I had to be back in the wards at 7 a.m. the next day, and I just worked 36 hours straight. I needed rest. And sometimes I was like wide awake till 1 in the morning thinking the most I can get is 4 hours, 5 hours, and I got to be back for another call. I mean, it was very difficult to me. Why? I couldn't have spiritual rest because I wasn't one of his beloved. One of the major problems of insomnia in this nation is people are not born again. And they are under the troubling influence of other spirits. If you're not one of God's kids, the devil and his devils can have at you all night and give you problem dreams and wake you up and talk in your ear. You got to remember, folks, your mind is susceptible. Your mind is like a receiver, like a radio, and it picks up spirits. Every thought that comes in your brain isn't yours. It may be yours, and it may be an unclean spirit, or, prayerfully, the Holy Spirit of God speaking Scripture to you. But if you're not saved, you don't have that option. All you got is left you and the bad spirits, and that's all. And so a lot of people are troubled. You must be one of his beloved to get sleep. That's the first thing you must do. Now, the second thing you have to do after you get born again is go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I mean, there are many things that will cause sleeplessness. The most important one is not being born again. The second one that can, the Bible talks about many of them. Illness can cause sleeplessness. Even if you are saved and you're having a real rough illness, you're going through a period of post-operative pain, you're going through a period of an infectious pain, that'll keep you up. And the Lord understands that. These are the exceptions to the rule. But I'll tell you another thing that keeps lost people up. The Bible speaks about it in Ecclesiastes. We're in the fifth chapter. Take a look at verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Another thing that causes sleeplessness in the United States is money. The abundance of money. Say, I don't have that much. Oh yeah, you've got enough. You've got a 401k plan. You worry about it? Do you think about it? That's one of the things that happens. When you have money, you worry about losing your money. And you find yourself thinking about it, and you can't get to sleep. Now here's one of the keys you want, verse 12. You're in Christ, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. God expects his children, he giveth his beloved sleep, to work. To work. The Lord rewards your mind with the comfort of, hey, I put in a good day today. And it's like the Lord just pets you on the head and says, that was good. Now you can rest. Take a rest. And if you haven't worked, then the Lord just can't bless that because you're not doing what he told you to do. If any man work not, he should not eat. And not only will he not eat, I might keep him up and not let him get a good night's sleep. You're expected to work. Now I know our mind thinks physical work, and physical work is good. Another kind of work is working for the Lord. Spiritual work. Doing something that day for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And then he can pat his beloved on the head and say, that was a good day. That was a day that you redeemed. And he giveth his beloved sleep. And I'll tell you, after my salvation in 1993, and I was just one of those kids that busily got to work for the Lord and instantly started running around passing out tracts and doing those kinds of things, I've been sleeping like a baby since 1993. And my wife will tell you how easily I get to sleep and how soundly I stay asleep. Even when she gets up and down and kicks me and does things. I mean, you know, things happen around the house. She's got to wake me sometimes. I sleep just like a baby. It's wonderful. He giveth his beloved sleep because I'm willing to labor on his behalf for his name's sake. So you got to be his and you got to be willing to labor for him. I'll show you another thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Another thing that will help you with your sleep. The burden of sleeplessness. I mean, it troubles your mind and your body. And the Lord wants to give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let's say God's talking to you. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep, here's the them, sound wisdom and discretion. So he's been talking about his words, and his words give wisdom and discretion. Verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck when thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The word of God, pouring the scriptures into you, will settle your heart and your mind and your soul, and that will affect your body. Have you ever heard the term? There's a term called psychosomatic illness. Have you ever heard that term? It's a compound word. Psycho, suki, means soul. Soma means body. And so the doctors talk about a psychosomatic illness. And what it means is if you have a troubled mind or a troubled soul or a troubled heart, it will affect your body. And it does. People who have mental problems, it eventually works out into physical problems in their body. Okay, it not only works on the negative side, it works on the positive side. There's psychosomatic health, and that's what he's talking about here. You let your soul get healthy, and I'll give your body the healthy rest that it needs. When thou liest down, thou sleep shall be sweet. Go to the next, go to chapter 6, another confirmation of verily, verily. Chapter 6 of Proverbs. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. What a blessing to wake up and hear the word of God. But there you go. The word of God, the scriptures, will help you to get a good rest. And then I'll give you a third one that I'm going to show you practically how to apply it. Go to Psalm 3. Now, there are people that sleep too much. And the Bible speaks of them as loving too much sleep. They're called the sluggard. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is the son that causeth shame. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, thou shalt be satisfied. You've got to get up and work. The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Too much sleep, a guy that doesn't want to do anything. Remember, principle number one, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to work. Okay, there's balance to what God does. But you want to be God's child. You want to work for the Lord. You want to put the scriptures in your heart and your mind. And here's Psalm 3, verses, let's say, 4 and 5. Here's a man praying. And he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. That's like a rest. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now, this was a man going through a real problem in his life. And you know how it's hard for an unsaved man to sleep when there's a problem going on? If you come to an unsaved man and you subpoena him and tell him you got to appear in court in 2 weeks and there are witnesses against you for a crime and you got to, you want to try and get through the next 2 weeks and see if you can sleep when you're going to appear in criminal court and you got witnesses against you? This is what this man is going through right here, something like that, a real problem in his life. And you know what he did? He prayed and slept. So you know what you do? I've had problems in my life. What do you think? I've been awake for the past 2 years? From the day I got the lawsuit to the day I get the thing from the New York State about my license and all these things that go on, I sleep like a baby. I take them. I take a look at them. I pray before the Lord and say, here's the papers, Lord, like Hezekiah. I lay them out. I get down. I pray. Say, there it is. Okay, now this is your problem. I'm going to read some Bible. And then I pray for the church and go to sleep like a baby. So let me help you. Let me help you to get a rest. You probably notice in your own life there's times around maybe, I don't know, everybody's different. For me, it's around 10:15, around 10:20 at night. You ever have like a wave of sleep come over you and you just want to go to bed? You ever fight through it and stay up? It's not a wise idea. It's not a wise idea. The Lord is saying, okay, I'm ready to put you in bed now. Okay? So here's what I do when these waves come, so I'm ready for them. What I do is, when I'm done with dinner, whatever time we eat, what would that be, 8:15? No. Anyways, you've lived with us, you know how it is. So Lovey makes dinner late, and we like it. When I'm done with dinner, I'll go upstairs, and I'll wash my face with the washcloth and get everything and brush my teeth real good, and then I'll get ready, and I'll turn the bed down, and I'll have everything ready, and I'll go downstairs, and I'll go about whatever I'm doing, reading or whatever that. And when the wave comes on me, I'm going to bed, honey. And I walk upstairs and lie down and go to sleep. I don't fight it. I don't press through it unless there's some pressing issue that I have to do. When the Lord's ready to put me to sleep, I let Him put me to sleep. And by the way, He wakes me up. I don't wear a watch and I don't use an alarm clock, and I haven't in the last 17 years. And I haven't missed one operation when I worked from 1993 to 2008. And the Lord would wake me right up. Time to go. Wake right up. And I remember sometimes he used to play tricks on me because I had a 7:30 case with a neurosurgeon who was very angry if you weren't on time. And one day I just wake up and it's 10 after 7. Lord, I'm never going to be there on time. And I'm getting ready and I'm praying and I'm getting there. And I arrive at 7:40. And this guy, he goes down to administration and complains and everything, you know, if you're not there on time. And I'm there at 7:40 and I show up only to hear, Dr. So-and-so is in emergency surgery at Buff General. He won't be here till 8 o'clock, 8:15. And the Lord would do that to me a lot of times. So He knows. But that happened many, many times. That's a blessing. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. But here's the point. Stick to the principles here. Make sure you're God's child. Labor for His name. Read Bible. Pray. And let the Lord put you to sleep. And if you have trouble, if you're one of those people struggling at night, here's how I would read my Bible. You should be on a Bible reading plan, every single one of you. And I'm on my Bible reading plan, and I'm done by the time it's bed. But let's say there are those few nights where that wave didn't hit me. You know what I would do? I would get upstairs, and I'd open my Bible to tomorrow's Old Testament reading. The Old Testament kind of puts you to sleep, you know. And so I'd get to that Old Testament reading for the next day, and I would start reading that. It's a win-win situation. If I get the chapter done, I don't have to read it tomorrow. And if I fall asleep in the middle of it, well, I get my sleep. And that would happen a lot. And I would use the comfort of the Scriptures to get me to sleep. But we're finishing up here, and the first thing you need to build the pillar of health is you need the right amount of rest and the right amount of sleep. And that'll vary from person to person, from as little to maybe 5.5, 6 hours to as long as 9 hours, depending on what type of person you are. You'll get to know your body. And for me lately, you know, sometimes if I can't get sleep during the night because I got to take someone to the airport at 3 in the morning or 4 in the, that kind of stuff, you learn how to take a little nap and get that little bit of rest that you need. But the Lord doesn't want us to live a frenetic paced life running to and fro and out of control. He'd like to give us rest. He giveth His beloved rest and sleep. That's the first thing that we want to work on to build the pillars of health in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for fearfully and wonderfully making us and giving us the ability to rest and to sleep, and then restoring and rebuilding the cells of our body and rejuvenating us so we can face the next day and rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made. And help us, Lord, to labor when the day comes, because the night is coming. Help us to read the Bible, put those commandments in our heart, so it will help us to rest, and to cry out unto Thee, and no matter what the circumstances are, know that You will give us the rest and keep us through the night. Thank You. We give thanks in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.